This week, on an all-new episode of Crazy Train of Thought, brought to you by the Idiot Savants, join host Ryan Wolf, Pokemaster Troy Osborne, and Colin Frickin' Giffey for rants such as...
On aboard
the choo-choo train!
Check a look.
Welcome, everybody, to Crazy Train of Thought, brought to you by the Idiot Savants. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Ryan Wolf. We are live from Savant Studios. Joining me today, I have...
Pokemaster Troy Osborne.
Pokemaster Troy Osborne back. Joins us back on the pod today. Thank you for being here, Troy. Appreciate you. Appreciate you stopping by. Next...
Frickin' Colin Giffey.
Colin freaking Giffey's here.
Griffey.
Colin Griffey.
Griffey.
Colin Griffey Jr.
No.
No. Okay. Sorry.
Close, but not a junior.
Officially here with a mustache and a little goatee.
Little goatee going on. Yeah. You know, trying.
I like something new.
I did it for a while. Then I had a sales job and had to trim it all. But no, I don't have that sales job anymore. I'm welcome to grow my facial hair back.
So there you go.
Almost want to pull a Doctor Strange, you know, but I have to go a lot thinner on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When I was your age, I was not able to pull off a mustache. I was trimming my beard over the weekend. And I think maybe I can now. I'm not saying like my face is facially structured for a mustache, but like just in terms of the amount of hair that grows on my upper lip now, I think I can do it.
I have too much hair on my upper lip.
Yeah?
It bothers me sometimes. I mean, but I'm not going to cut it.
You can trim it.
I do sometimes.
The way your beard grows, I see like... Like, it's on your lip a little bit?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I've got one of the Manscaped trimmers.
Did you get a Manscaped trimmer?
I have a Manscaped trimmer, yeah.
Nice.
Dude, it works really well, yeah.
Fantastic.
Trimming that, make sure it looks nice and groomed, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hmm.
Got to start it off right, man.
You know? I got, I think it's a Philips Norelco One Blade.
Yeah, that thing's nice.
Pretty good. Yeah, Troy has one, too. Yeah. Yeah, we got a shit ton of stuff to get to today. The last couple episodes we've spent bullshitting, but I think like today's episode we literally have too much to talk about. So let's just jump right into it. Today we all watched Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah.
Thank you.
Old classic 80s. 80s.
90s.
90s.
That's the one we watched, right?
That's what I watched.
You told me to watch Mortal Kombat. That's what I watched.
Oh. There's a new Mortal Kombat.
A new one. 2021 release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it just came out.
Rated R.
Hold on. Just a second.
In theaters now.
Rated R, surprisingly.
BRB.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm back. I watched it. We're good.
Yes, thank you, Troy, for taking the time to watch the new Mortal Kombat.
It's places.
Yeah, I went into this movie with the highest of expectations.
Ooh.
Like, really? I went in with the worst expectations.
Oh, come on, man!
That's how I go into every movie. I've never been disappointed.
The original movie, Mortal Kombat, and its follow up, Annihilation, are so bad.
No.
They're so bad.
You're wrong.
When's the last time you watched the original Mortal Kombat?
Last week.
Oh, God. I think we may have even talked about it. The CGI is painful. It hurts my eye.
They tried too hard. Okay.
Yes. So let's get to the new movie, though. This isn't necessarily a comparison of the new movie versus the old movie.
It's not.
Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Go ahead, Troy.
I watched this movie with Julian and Ty, friend of the pod.
Okay, yeah.
Not watching right now, by the way, boys. The hell. But I planned it out. I told them Saturday night, when everything else is done,
we're having a movie night.
We're watching Mortal Kombat. Because Tyler has HBO Max and shares with me.
Cool. Yeah.
So we sat down and started watching it. I was like, this is not the movie that I thought how this movie was going to start out. Because it starts out in ancient Japan?
Yeah, the 1600s.
Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
I didn't know Sub-Zero and Scorpion were that old.
So,
I think they kind of, like, change the character dynamic every now and then.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it doesn't follow the same story as the comics, I mean, not comics, video games or the old movies, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think over, there's been 11 Mortal Kombat games, so we have 11 canon Mortal Kombat games, then they had a major reset with Mortal Kombat 9.
Mm-hmm.
So Mortal Kombat 9 reset a lot of the stuff that the original 8 games had established, if I am remembering my Mortal Kombat lore correctly.
I mean, good luck with that.
There's so many characters, and like, for me, I don't love playing Mortal Kombat because I'm not good at fighting games.
I'm terrible at
I haven't really played them as much. I don't know why. I've always enjoyed them.
Yeah.
But like the newer ones, I just never felt like purchasing or buying. If I really wanted to play them, I'd play the older ones.
Sure.
Yeah.
I really do want to play Mortal Kombat 11 now that I've watched this movie. I've thought about getting it, but I'm not sure yet. But I've always been pretty decent at fighting games. Like Injustice is one game that the same creators as Mortal Kombat. I played 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And those are some of my favorite games, and it's made by the same creators. So.
NetherRealms.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think it's really cool that the same developer for Mortal Kombat, like the guy that created Mortal Kombat, is still working on Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Ed Boon. Like that's so cool.
Yeah.
That he's been a part of that franchise for so long.
I think that's what's kind of held it together, though.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
They even gave him a little shout out in the movie. I think they mentioned a name, like I watched a breakdown and they mentioned the creator's name at some point in the movie. They talked about him fighting somebody, and I can't remember.
Oh, really?
I can't remember who it was. Like, you need to fight this person.
There's
or something.
One point in the movie where it's him yelling something. Because it's the thing that he always yelled in all the games.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it was fight or fatality or whatever it was, but one of those cheesy things that they threw in that they could have just left out, but it was still good there.
Good Easter egg for people who are Mortal Kombat fans. So,
They said the thing. They said the thing.
So if you guys...
Kaino wins.
Listeners and viewers, if you guys have not seen the movie, this is going to be full spoilers.
Yeah.
Full spoilers. We got
fucking spoilers
for you today.
Sure do.
So I don't want to have anybody disappointed because we spoiled some Mortal Kombat shit for you.
Yeah.
So first off, that is not a Japanese Johnny Cage. I thought for sure.
Like
halfway through the movie, I was like, it's an Asian Johnny Cage. That's where they're going. He's a cage fighter.
Yeah.
His uppercuts his special move.
Yep,
I'm like,
yep.
It's Johnny Cage. They just change him a little bit. He's not so Hollywood.
Yep.
Nope.
And that was one of the reasons why I was so surprised with the stuff in this movie is that, like, I had gone in not knowing anything. Like, I didn't want to be spoiled. I watched the original, the number one trailer, the first trailer they put out. And I was like, well, that's it. I'm going to see that.
Yep.
And so going in, like, I know more of the Mortal Kombat lore than Rachel does.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm semi-familiar with the characters. I in no way played all of the games. Like, if I say something wrong on this podcast, I'm sorry. Like,
I will say something wrong.
I'm not as familiar with it as a lot of people who are Mortal Kombat fans. But, like, I love those characters. I love the world that they inhabit. I love the idea of battling for Earth's soul, basically, in this fucking fight night thing. Like, that is all such a cool idea. And the graphicness and the violence is something that I've always been drawn to, too. And they've only amplified that in the later games.
I think it's at, like, times 11 now.
Yeah. You could say it's 11.
I've heard it's pretty bad in the newest game. I haven't played it. Or is that the one me and Malcolm played? Was that 11 or was that 10?
No, I think it's probably 10 that you guys played. Because that was a while ago that we talked about it on the podcast when Malcolm was playing those.
Yeah.
So I had fun guessing the characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure that's Kung Lao. And then
he introduced himself. That's Kung Lao.
Yeah.
No, he but before that, like, he's on screen before he introduces himself. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's who that is.
Raiden. I don't know who's Raiden.
Raiden.
Yeah. I didn't know who Raiden was when he showed up. I was like, no. Oh, totally.
That was a joke. Oh, okay. I was like,
dude, it has glowing eyes. Like, how do you? Which I thought looked horrible, by the way. Am I the only one? I didn't think Raiden's eyes looked very well.
I didn't like Raiden at all, but I just wanted it to be the Raiden from the 90s movies.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know his name, but he's so good as Raiden. Like
Christopher, something like that.
He's
the Cloud. Is that it?
I don't know.
I mean, he's the Highlander guy, too.
Yes, he's the Highlander.
Yeah, that's why I liked him. Yeah.
Anybody in the chat, if you guys know who plays that guy, let us know here so we can tell everybody that we're not morons.
Ooh. Bilbo's here.
Hey,
he says his favorite Mortal Kombat is 9.
Okay, yep,
and they did the reboot.
Nice,
Phil. How'd you like the movie?
Yeah, let us know how you like the movie there, Philbo, so we can get your thoughts here. I thought that I didn't love Raiden's eyes, like you said.
Yeah.
Even like his powers was like.
Teleport. That's it. That's all you did.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Teleport thing. And it almost looked like the lightning effects from like an 80s action flick, like
from the 90s movie, but better, but worse.
It was better.
I think it's better than the 90s movies, but like there's arguably effects in like Willow and some of that ILM shit that were better than CGI when CGI came out. So that's what it reminded me of, like the lightning effects in Willow is what I first kind of thought of.
I just watched the movie. It's kind of a thing I do.
Okay. As opposed to Colin and I who are like stopping at scene on scene and
I think
like,
so.
What's this?
Did you see his shit eyes?
Shit eyes.
I think the opening scene was pretty awesome.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that opening scene with Scorpion.
They killed
becoming
the kid.
Scorpion, yeah. So sad. Sub-Zero killed his family.
But if you didn't like the Raiden effects, I thought Sub-Zero's effects were awesome.
I thought they
like,
were really
all that
good.
Shit with the ice, like looked so good. When he first comes to get I don't even know the main character's name, not Asian Johnny Cage.
I can't remember his name either for some reason.
Yeah, like when he first comes to get the guy from the diner with his family after he has his fight. Like, it's snowing, and he's doing, like, all the ice stuff. It's so good.
It looks really good.
I think I have a new favorite Mortal Kombat character, though, and that's Kano.
Kano was pretty amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. And as...
He's like Boomerang, almost.
Yeah.
Very similar vibes.
And as Rachel and I are watching this, I'm like, I know that motherfucker. I've seen that guy in another movie.
He's Boomerang.
Where have I seen him before? So I get on IMDb while we're watching it. He was the pharmacy worker, the pharmacist in Superstore. So like he's been in comedies before. He's a really funny guy. And like in that show, he obviously can't swear or be excessively violent.
Yeah.
And it works so well.
Like Kano held the movie together.
For sure.
To say that Kano was the one
who's
that
a shitty character. Kano sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
Kano's
fuck
the worst.
Fuck Kano.
and he like he even brings in the whole fight with Cabal is like there's this guy Kano. He'll definitely betray him.
Yeah.
Like
He's
an
a real
asshole.
Dickhead. Yeah. Yeah, that stuff with Cabal, like their history, I want to know more about their history.
Yeah.
Like, so, because that implies that Kano, like, Cabal's a fucking cyborg, right? Like him Smoke.
Yeah.
Or maybe not Smoke, but Cyrax.
Yeah.
And like, there's three or four Mortal Kombat characters that are cyborgs.
Cyborgs, yeah.
And maybe even Cyborg is a character. I don't know 100%.
I don't think, what's his name? Cyrax? Right?
Cabal is the character in the movie.
I don't think Cabal is like, starts off, like, in the games you and I played, he was an android. But I think in these, the newer games, he's just a dude with some sickle thing.
So you think Cabal knew Kano prior to becoming an android?
Well, I think
of death.
I think when Kano betrayed him, he went to Outer World or whatever.
Okay, Outland.
Yeah, instead of dying.
Okay.
And they brought
and Shang Tsung brought him
they
back.
They pulled
and
the whole
Anakin'd him up, you could say.
Yeah. The whole Darth Vader thing on that guy.
All right.
Man.
All right, that's a possibility. Because I was thinking, like, maybe Kano knows more about the Mortal Kombat than he is letting on.
Yeah.
I thought that the part where he first unlocks his eye power was really cool and really funny.
It was awesome.
When they're just giving him shit for being such a pussy. it's Kung Lao and Liu Kang, right, that are giving him shit.
That was a different Liu Kang, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that guy is fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Like, bow flexed out. Oh, my God. When he, like, does
Oiled up.
Yeah, he's all oiled up and he's flexing. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that guy is ripped.
Well, one thing when the directors were, like, they released another trailer, it was like Meet the Cast, and the cast was spelled with a K.
Okay,
for Mortal Kombat.
Sure.
But they were talking about how they wanted to cast people that could do both acting and the fighting part. Like, they didn't want any stunt doubles or anything.
Nice.
So everybody really did, like, their own legit thing. Like, everybody fought, like, the way they're supposed to in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, no stunt doubles, no stand-ins. Like, I thought that was really cool.
That's awesome.
And they also did a great job of acting, like, surprisingly. I thought the lines were going to be poorly delivered, just like the original Mortal Kombat. I was like, this is going to be a monstrosity. I did go in with low expectations. I did read reviews prior, and everyone's like, oh, it's a decent movie, which is kind of what I thought. I didn't blow my mind or anything, but I was like, oh, it's definitely a Mortal Kombat movie we deserve.
It's way better than it needs to be.
Yeah. Agreed.
Way better than it has any right to be, you could say.
Yep.
I read some of the reviews, but nothing too in-depth. And, like, I think critics are usually harder on movies, obviously, than the viewers are. And sometimes that flip-flops every once in a while.
Yep.
But it seemed like people really liked the new Mortal Kombat. Like, audiences really liked the new Mortal Kombat, even if critics weren't that impressed with it. And I think, like, not only were the lines pretty well delivered for the most part, I thought the action was pretty amazing for most of it. Like, the Kung Lao battle with the Batgirl, which I don't know her character's name.
She's from one of the newer games.
Okay. So she's, like, flying around, and he's battling her with his boomerang hat, and when he throws the hat into the sand and cuts her in half with his hat, like, oh my God!
It was very brutal.
That was so awesome.
Yeah,
that was so awesome.
I was hoping to see somebody's spine get ripped out, though.
Yeah.
I had thought for sure that was going to happen, and quite frankly, it never did.
Like, the first fatality, I think it's the first one, when Kano rips out Reptile's beating heart.
Yeah,
yeah.
Kano wins.
Yes.
Yeah,
and he's holding the fucking heart in his hand. Like, oh, that was great.
It was
like
awesome.
Everything about that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think that they played it a little bit more fast and loose with the Mortal Kombat lore than I was expecting, which is one of the reasons why it was so fun to, like, guess the characters. And I, the whole time, like you said, Asian Johnny Cage, I'm thinking he's Asian Johnny Cage or some other character that we are familiar with in the Mortal Kombat lore, until I was reading articles later and the directors and the writer was like, no, we wanted him to be a new character.
Yeah.
We wanted to, like, I don't know that they necessarily wanted the audience to be guessing the whole time,
because
they may have came out and said that before, but I was definitely guessing the whole time.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
I think they wanted, I don't know if they introduced him just because they wanted to introduce a new character, or they wanted some kind of, like, the whole prophecy thing with him being a descendant of Scorpion.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure if, like, they planned that character around that plot or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, let's throw in a new character. Oh, let's have him be Scorpion's great, 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 whatever.
Right.
You know, however far down the line. But I thought it was really cool, though. There's a lot of hints. It almost gives you hints throughout the movie, because, like I said, I was watching a rundown of the movie, and there's a lot of black and yellow that gets thrown throughout his...
Is Wiz Khalifa in the sequel?
I knew you're gonna make a Wiz Khalifa joke. Wiz Khalifa is Scorpion. He just shows up at the end of the movie. No, I'm the descendant.
Get over here.
It just made me wonder, like, yeah, he's the descendant, but I thought for sure, like, he was going to take on almost, like, the Scorpion role, like, yeah. Almost become Scorpion.
For sure.
Yeah. Which yeah. He didn't. He was just kind of, like, there, and then he found that one power fighting, what's that dude's name?
Goro.
Goro, yep. I thought that scene was really cool.
Yeah.
Because it was very symbolic, because when we saw Scorpion in the beginning of the movie, he found and made that thing out of ropes. Like, he roped in that little dagger tool, gardening tool, yeah. Whatever.
Right.
And that's how he does it. Get over here.
Yeah.
Well, like, how he defines his suit is, like, he picks up that thing that's attached to that rope in the shed.
Yeah.
Kind of the same way his great-grandfather did.
So if you look at the...
That was kind of cool.
If you look at the cross-stitching... Mm-hmm. That's on his suit, which looks terrible,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like
it looks
Iron
so
Man's
bad.
Goddamn rubber suit from Infinity War and Endgame. It's so awful. It looks so fucking fake. But I wish they would have done his suit a little bit better than that. Like, it looks so, so bad. But the stitching on his suit is the same as the basket weave of his descendant that's found, that Raiden finds in the basket.
Oh yeah,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool little Easter egg.
Huh.
That I didn't notice. I looked that up, like, didn't specifically notice that, but yeah, it was cool. There's a lot of little Easter eggs in there. What was your guys's favorite fight scene?
Oh, favorite fight scene, it would probably, for me, it would have to be the Kano versus Sonya.
Okay.
She's like, nah, it's mine.
Yeah.
It's mine. Sorry. I'm taking that.
Well, because she ends that fight scene by stabbing him in the head with the dwarf that he spit on.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of the movie. And, like, I don't know about you guys, but I was kind of bummed after that. Like, after Kano dies, after he leaves the movie,
yeah.
I'm like, well, what am I... Like, do I just shut it off?
That's what he gets,
or do I
become an evil?
Actually finish this movie?
Yeah. Like,
now that
he
my
was
favorite
what was keeping me here.
Dead? Yeah, exactly. Like, he's definitely the reason why I'm here. And without Kano, I think definitely the humor suffers a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not very funny. And it's at the end of the movie. It's near the end of the movie that he dies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was bummed after Kano died.
Yeah.
What about you, Colin?
I'd have to agree. That fight scene was pretty awesome. Pretty well choreographed all around. I also just really enjoy seeing Scorpion on screen. Scorpion's always been a beloved character of many.
Right.
So just seeing him pop up at the end of the movie was also sweet. I wish he would have been in the movie a lot more, because he is a major Mortal Kombat character.
For sure.
I do agree with the arc that they chose to give him. But a lot of people are saying, oh, Scorpion deserves his own movie. So I'm like, how would that even happen? Like,
then he came back from hell at the end of the movie.
It would just be Scorpion killing people, which is fine. Like, I'll watch it if they spin it off. But they already told, like, let's pick a different character to tell their backstory.
Mm-hmm. I honestly thought this movie was going to be a lot more brutal than it was.
Really?
Because... when I was reading stuff prior, that's another thing the director said, is they wanted to push the rated R limit. Like, they wanted to go as far as they possibly could. So I was expecting, like, the worst of the worst. I mean, it was pretty gory and pretty bloody, but, like, it wasn't anything that was super unbearable. Like, there was never parts where some parts. I was like, there was that part where that one dude gets his head crushed.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, like, that was kind of, ugh. My roommate walked in during that, and he was like, dude, that was disgusting.
Well, let's talk about those little end fight scenes a little bit, because, like, even when Asian Johnny Cage goes to kill Goro, there's three or four, they all go to kill an individual from the other team.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, I thought all of those... were a little bit lacking.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see those, I guess, extended fight scenes, like those more individual battles, rather than, like, here's a montage, basically, of a bunch of cool fatalities that you know from these games.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to see more fighting, I guess.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think they were I'm sure they shot it all. It was just they had a time limit to hit, so they had to shrink down some of the less important fights to make it so they could have.
So let's bring in Zack Snyder. Yeah. Zack Snyder's gonna do reshoots for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get the Snyder cut.
Yeah, let's get the Snyder cut of Mortal Kombat.
That's gonna be HBO's thing now, right?
Yeah, yeah. They just have Zack Snyder make all their movies longer. Yeah.
If they do that, they have to pay us now.
Yeah, that's our idea. Yeah, I think my favorite fight scene, like, I think I'm going to stick with the Kung Lao one where he cuts her in half. Like, that's, I don't even like Kung Lao as a character, and I think the hat's super stupid, but cutting that bitch in half was amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
So, can we talk about Sonya's like, she's there.
Yeah.
In training for the Mortal Kombat, but like doesn't have a brand, doesn't have the mark.
The mark, yeah.
And like can't unlock her chi, her Mortal Kombat powers.
I don't remember what it's called.
What is that? Like, how does that even work?
I don't know. How does she even get there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember them necessarily being chosen in the games or if that's even part of the lore. Like, I don't know.
I think it was. Them getting chosen is.
But I mean, if we go back and think about it, in the 90s movie, she wasn't chosen either. She was just hiding on the boat.
Okay, I thought I remembered that from that original movie. She was just hanging out.
She was just kind of hanging out, and then they were like, "Well, I mean, I guess you can be part of our crew and fight for Earth."
Okay. What did you think of Jax's arms?
Oh, I loved them. When they were great.
First,
they were
all his whittly. Little tiny arms,
his
T-Rex arms, where he's like trying to lift that boulder up and about rips his arms out of socket.
And then it goes Transformer, and then he gets these giant beastly.
And Rachel goes, so I guess he can just do that.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, kind of random.
Like, all right, sure.
No, they just don't go away.
He's
got his arms now. And they're strong.
And like Kano's eye is like it is technological in nature. So I guess sure. Like you unlock your chi laser eye.
Laser eye. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Metal forming.
And the thing was with the whole laser eye, like he just could have killed anybody with it. Just bzz.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
No, he does not.
He didn't like aim it like a gun and be like, I'm going to shoot you in the heart. And Sony would have been dead.
Right, right.
But no, he's like, fight, fight, fight. Oh, I'm going to cut you. Oh, I missed.
I missed. I'm going to cut you. Yeah, so maybe stretching the limits of believability on how exactly the eye functions.
It's Mortal Kombat, so.
No, we are stretching the limits of believability, Troy.
That's not even halfway stretching the limits of what Mortal Kombat has already done in the games.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You guys ready to move on to some games?
What do you think? So. Yeah.
We good? No. We good on Mortal Kombat?
I played some Mortal Kombat. No, I'm kidding.
Watch Mortal Kombat, listeners, viewers. Yeah. It's definitely worth watching. Mm-hmm. I would say I would have rather seen it in theaters, to be completely honest.
Yeah. I agree.
I watched it at home. I should have watched it in the theaters. Troy, tell me about the new Pokemon Snap. I think that's probably the newest thing that came out. Let me hear it, buddy.
It came out last week.
Okay.
And it's Pokemon Snap, but in HD. It looks great.
Does it?
I really like the look of it. It's basically a continuation of Pokemon Snap from the N64. If you haven't played that, you're literally in a little, like...
It's an on-rail shooter, technically.
Yeah, it's an on-rails photography game. You're a wildlife...
That's what I meant by shooter.
Yeah, wildlife photographer, and you're taking pictures of Pokemon, and then the Professor Mirror in this game?
Sure.
Is rating your pictures on a grading scale. And you have to have, so there's four or five, I can't remember for sure, if it's four or five different rankings for these pictures, and you have to have one of that, like one picture for each ranking before your part of that part of the Pokédex is complete.
Okay.
So like there's a 1-star, a 2-star, a 3-star, and a 4-star. And when you have a picture of that Pokemon of that grade, then there's also
almost like completing a trials map.
Yeah.
Where you've got to like complete in a certain amount of time.
But each one of those has its own like rank. So there's a 1-star bronze, a 1-star gold, a 1-star platinum.
Holy shit.
Silver, gold, platinum.
That sounds pretty involved.
It is very involved.
Let's say you're driving in your on-rails little tugboat thing there, and you see a Caterpie.
Yep.
And so is it like, so in the original game, in the original Pokemon Snap, you got bonus points for multiple Pokemon in the shot, or throwing an apple where the Pokemon does something funny, where if he does like a flip or something.
That's your pose.
Okay.
Pose points.
So, like, all of that mechanic stuff is kind of still in there in terms of rating your picture and stuff?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same, but new areas, new levels, a bunch of new Pokemon from the new games. Because at that point, I think we only had, like, up to Gen 3, if that.
I mean, that's an N64 game.
Yeah.
So you'd be talking about that generation ending at the GameCube release in 2001.
Yeah.
So that's probably Gen 1.
I feel like there might have been. No, I think, yeah, you're right. It was just Gen 1 Pokemon. Now that I'm going back and thinking about it.
Yeah.
Some of the first Pokemon you take a picture of in this game are Pikachu and
Grookey. Oh, really? Pikachu's in it.
Pikachu and Grookey.
Okay, sure.
And then Dodrio. Like that's the first three Pokemon you see on the first route.
Okay.
And you go from it's like an island kind of forest to then you go, the next one is a jungle. And then from the jungle, once you get as you're getting pictures of Pokemon, you're leveling up your stats on that map.
Okay.
So there's levels like level 1, level 2.
So the levels do something particular to like unlock new Pokemon on that map? So it gives you a reason to replay them?
Yes, it makes so at level 1 it's the same until you get to level 2, and then the Pokemon are in different places or in different poses or like move in a different way, or you can find secret paths that go off of the main path.
Okay.
Because you have a scan, and when the scan makes a noise, it makes the Pokemon like look at you kind of funny, and you can snap that picture like that, or some of them you scan it and it's like scan that thing a little extra, and you scan it extra, and it's like, hey, this is a different like a detour, and you go around the detour, or you learn about something in the game.
Okay.
So far I have 4 levels open. I haven't even been to the 4th level yet. I've only done 3 of them.
How many levels are there?
I think there's 5 or 6.
Okay.
And so far, I haven't got bored of it. I feel like I'm progressing at a steady pace. I'm not like, well, what do I do to, you know, every time you level up, more Pokemon show up or different Pokemon show up or, you know, you go through it again and you're like, wait, I didn't see that Pokemon before. Like I was playing before the pod and I went through the desert map for the first time.
Yeah.
And didn't look to the right or didn't look to the left pretty much at all. I was just watching these Pokemon to the right that I hadn't seen in the game before. And then the next time I started it, I looked to the left and I was like, dude, there's a Kangaskhan right here at the start. And I didn't see it.
And you missed it.
Kangaskhan.
It's a really big Pokemon for those of you that are not Pokemon fans.
One of the biggest that is Pokemon.
It's
one
up
of,
there.
It's one of the biggest, and for sure, I just didn't see it at all. It was weird. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Emmett has played it. He's having fun with it too. And I found myself playing it over the weekend, and people were walking in because right now I'm living with my mother-in-law. And people were walking in the house from outside, and they're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking pictures of Pokemon. What does it look like I'm doing?
Right. I'm voyeuring Pokemon. NBD.
Yeah.
Getting paid.
Getting paid. I mean,
I think it's a good stepping off point in a Pokemon, different Pokemon direction. Just like it was on the N64.
Okay.
But I hope they do more with it than, I mean, N64, it was literally, here's the game.
Yeah.
Figure it out yourself. And at that point it was yeah, literally
very little tutorial in that game.
We didn't have YouTube at the time. I mean,
yeah. And it was like trial and error, like, yeah. To get the Magmar to jump out of the lava, yeah. You had to throw an apple in at a certain time on, yeah, that first map.
Or like, you got to hit the slow poke with the apple, so yep. he dips his tail in the water, and then he gets the Shellder on his tail, and then yep. turns into Slowbro.
And like, that stuff is cool to figure out, but...
And it has that in
damn,
the game.
You've got a... Yeah. Like, that's involved.
Yeah. There was one cool one that I've done so far where... there's a weird lump in the ground, and it says to scan it. Well, when you scan it, it's like, that looks like there might be something under there. And then you hit scan again, and it doesn't do nothing. And then you hit scan again, and it makes a noise, and then it shakes a little. And then you hit scan one more time, and the pincer comes out of the ground.
Okay.
And then you keep scanning, and he keeps getting more and more irritated. And then he finally pops all the way out, and is like... mad, and you take a picture of him, and then there's one point at night, if you get him mad and get him out, then you throw there's these luminous orbs. That's the whole story of this island or this area, is there's these luminous flowers that make the Pokemon glow funny.
Okay.
At night, and you throw this luminous orb at the pincer, and then a Heracross falls out of the tree above them, and then they fight.
That's badass.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I saw them like fight in this game, yeah, in the wild. I was like, whoa.
That's cool. That's,
like, that is the thing that they do.
Yeah.
Those two Pokemon, that like, that's their whole lore, is they're destined to fight forever.
So
that's cool.
You remember playing this as a kid, yes, obviously. Colin, did you play this game?
Mm-hmm. I never played Pokemon Snap.
Man.
I've been looking for an emulator of this game for so long, and now I just have the game.
There you go.
There you go.
does this game include Pokemon Snap 64?
No.
Bummer.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah,
there.
Missed opportunity for Nintendo.
Nintendo has a lot of missed opportunities.
Especially because this is a direct sequel. Like, the kid that you play as in the first game comes back as an adult and is helping you as a character learn how, wow, to take photos.
That's pretty cool.
So, like, Nintendo seems to be playing the long game with some of their franchises.
Like, the really long game.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, the last time this game came out was
N64. We're going to wait 20 years and release a sequel to Pokemon Snap. And I was reading online that that Satoru Iwata is actually the guy that, like, greenlit Pokemon, yeah, Snap to come to fruition.
Okay.
Which is cool. Like, a good,
yeah,
you know, R.I.P. Satoru Iwata.
R.I.P.
Dang it.
Yeah. That's cool that he helped bring that to fruition.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they brought it back.
Yeah, I'm glad they brought it back. It's cool. I've not personally played it, but from what you're saying, Troy, that sounds like they have done some interesting things, yeah,
and
with it.
It
sure
does have the motion. Like, if you want to use motion, obviously with motion, you have to have it in tablet mode, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But cool at the same time, because literally you...
I thought the accelerometers were in the controller.
Yeah, they are.
Huh.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Because I thought... So I put it in, this is the only time I played it on the TV, was at my mother-in-law's house, well, my house now, and I thought if I move the stick, you know, because I always play with a Joy-Con, and then just kind of chill.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things about the Switch, is I don't have to have a controller like this. If a kid...
Yeah, because this is just too much.
Well, for me, if I have a baby sleeping on me, I can be like, controller here and then a controller over here.
I'm trying to think whether or not that would work better with Optimus sleeping on me.
It would, because you don't have to,
all right,
like,
all
so
right,
if you
I can see
with a controller, you have to be here,
Right.
Like, there is no other way to be besides
right
here.
If he wants
to
cuddle up on my arm or whatever, well, I've got to bring my arm up over.
Yeah.
All right.
And
all
like,
right.
If you, this, is, I've played an Xbox game like this before. It's not good.
No, that's a good way to.
So I always just
strain
kinda,
your shoulder.
Yeah, I always just kind of chill like this, and then I tried moving them, and it didn't work. And then I put them back in the tablet mode, and it's fine. So it's just in tablet mode, which
kind
of makes more sense as a camera, as you're pointing the camera. But at the same time, I was like, I still have a camera. I want to pretend.
So is this a $60 game, Troy?
Yes.
Are you happy with the amount you paid?
Yeah.
Is there any, do you know if there's any DLC coming out for it?
I don't know if there's DLC, but I'm feeling like there should be.
Okay.
So far, I mean, I put probably at least 10 hours into the game. And I mean, it came out Friday. And I don't think I'm halfway through it yet. I barely, like, I don't know anything about the Illumination Pokemon yet or what's causing that, besides there's these shiny flowers. And it goes through this whole story, and that's what you're trying to learn. Like, every Pokemon game has a Gigantamax or a
Mega Stones.
Or what is the thing that you're trying to find more about?
Yeah.
And it's the Illumia phenomenon is what they call it or something like that.
Okay.
So I'm really enjoying it, and I think it's worth $60 to me.
I was just gonna say, like, like if Colin, who has not played Pokemon Snap, should Colin buy Pokemon Snap?
I can't speak for non-nostalgic, you know, feelings of it, but I mean,
he's biased.
You got your nostalgia bias fucking up the podcast.
I can't help
it. Damn it, Troy.
Not only nostalgia, but it's fucking Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
it doesn't matter about nostalgia. It's Pokemon bias already.
Fair.
I, if they came out today and said, we are coming out with a remake of Hey You Pikachu from the 64, I'd pre-order it.
Is that a game on 64?
Yeah, it had a microphone that you put on
I forgot.
And
about
you
that.
Literally said, "Hey, you Pikachu," and then you could talk to Pikachu, and he did stuff.
Cool.
Wow.
I had that game.
I know you did.
Yeah, because it said Pokemon game in the title.
No, it just said Pikachu.
Colin.
Yes.
I want to hear about Population 1.
All right, so Population...
Let me hear about it. This VR game,
yes,
right?
Yes, Population 1 is a VR Battle Royale game.
Okay.
Kind of a lot of Fortnite vibes, which I hate Fortnite, by the way, but I love Population 1.
Okay.
And a lot of people do. It's got a very
Steam
positive...
VR?
Yeah, Steam VR and Oculus has it on their store as well.
Quest compatible?
Quest compatible, yes. You can get on the Oculus store.
And
so
it's free?
No, it is about, I think, $30. 20, 30, but $30, I think, is the
official
amount.
I really need to stop buying games that I don't have.
Oh my gosh, it is phenomenal game. So there's a few different guns to choose from, and they have different ratings. So, like, there's different stars. So there's 5 stars total. So there's, like, shotguns, there's snipers, pistols, submachine guns, and assault rifles. I think that's mostly it. I haven't seen any rocket launchers or anything.
Okay.
And each gun, based on its stats, are based on stars. So if a 1-star weapon's probably not going to do as much damage, 2-star will do more, 3-star, 4-star.
So full-on battle royale, like
so
you're going to loot
royale.
The map.
You're going to loot the map. So how you start is you start off, first of all, you start off in the pre-lobby, so it's just open in the map and there's a countdown. And then you pop up on this platform, and then you run up to these pods, and then you press ready, like you tap the screen that says ready, and the pod will launch you into the sky. So not everybody's on like a bus or whatever. Everybody's in their own separate pods.
Okay.
And the pods go to different sides of the map too. So like it's a long line of pods. They all shoot one way. You just pick which pod you want to go to, what section of the map. So you want to go furthest right, go to the furthest right pod. And then you fly over, and then there's like a little release hatch that you have to pull.
In your pod.
Okay. So while you're going, you can pull up a map using the left trigger, and then it'll show you where you're at on the map. And then like you can make mark, you can mark wherever your team was a drop. And there's only, you can only play in teams of three right now. There's no solos or anything. So okay. Three people usually play with randoms. I've added a few people that I've played with. But you can't get in your own pod with certain teams. Each pod is only for one individual person. Oh. So everybody's kind of fighting for these pods.
Yeah.
Almost. But I think the pods respawn. I've never stuck around long enough. Because you can wait it out too until you see the zone shrink. Like a lot of people will stay back a little bit longer to see where the zone ends up and then they'll drop. But I usually just drop pretty much within the direct line of where my pod goes. So while you're dropping, if you stick your arms out, you actually glide. So you glide forward when you stick your arms out. So you're kind of like flying. And then when you drop your arms, you just go straight down. So you got to glide wherever you want to go and then pull your arms in if you want to keep going down. So you can fly across the map if you want. So that's pretty cool.
Dude, that sounds badass.
So then you land wherever, obviously preferably within zone. And the zone shrinks pretty fast. I don't know how many people are usually in a lobby. I want to say probably 30 to 50. I don't know the exact number on that. But yeah, so you fly down, you drop down, try to find... So there's a few different things that you can pick up for loot. So first off, you have your guns, and they have the different star ranking systems, like I said. And if you don't have a backpack, there's only 2 gun slots available, or slots in general. So you can have unlimited as much ammo as you can pick up. So whenever you pick up something, you reach out and grab it, and it kind of, like, it's almost like a magnet. It pulls towards you and goes in your inventory.
Okay.
So you can pick up as much ammo as you want. Ammo doesn't take up any space. But then you have to find guns. So I usually run like an assault rifle and a sniper, an assault rifle and a shotgun, maybe a submachine gun, unless I find a backpack. So backpacks are another thing that you can pick up. So if you pick up one backpack, it gives you an extra slot. You pick up another one, it gives you an extra slot. I think you have 3 upgrades. So it's not like you find different size backpacks. You have to find like each backpack stacks on top of each other.
Okay. Okay.
So you can have up to 4 weapons, I think. And then there's another thing that drops too. So you have health, you have 100 health, and you start off in the game with 0 shield. So you have Fortnite. to find these blue shields. So one of them, like there's a small shield battery and it's like 5% shield. It goes up to 100. So you have 5% shield, a 10% shield, which I think is the highest. Maybe it goes up to 20. I'm not too sure. And then there's also these little blue cans that you can find. Basically looks like a Pepsi can. And if you drink that, so you pop the tab and pull it towards you, and yeah, your guy will drink it, and it adds shield over time. You can hold up to 3 of those in one slot in your inventory. The battery shields, you just pick them up and it immediately moves, like it doesn't, you can't hold those in your inventory or anything. And then there's another drink that is for your health. So say you do get in a firefight, your shield's depleted and you lost some health, so you're 80 health, you pick up a red can, you pop that and drink it, and it slowly gives you health over time.
Okay.
And then there's bananas, which give you instant health. I think it's like 10 health per banana, maybe more, maybe like 20. So you actually have to peel 4 sides of the banana and then bring it up to your face. But that's all the loot, other than there's a couple grenades. So there's frag grenades, and then there's a thing called a zone grenade. And a zone grenade basically treats you like you're in the zone. So it like covers a huge wide area. And if we're in it, and if you're in that zone, it slowly drains your health.
So will that
and they do significant damage. Yes. Like, so if I threw a zone grenade at myself, it would mess me up. It wouldn't mess up my team. I don't think there's friendly fire with zone grenades, but there is for other players and yourself.
Okay.
So I've never really used the zone grenades. I've seen them more often. I think I've been close to dying by them. I don't think I've ever died by them. I rarely like using grenades. So let me talk a little bit about the weapon mechanics. So Pavlov is very intense with reloading. It's like real life. This game, whenever you pick up a gun, it usually has you, like the clip shows like right underneath the gun. All you got to do is push it in and then you cock it and then it's good to go. And if you want to reload early, you just press the right stick in and then push the clip up. Like it's really easy. It's not as hard as having to reach for a clip and everything. So
right.
Reloading is a lot faster. Each gun has a different amount of ammo that I can hold. There's not a huge variety of weapons. Like I said, there's different star ranking systems.
Yeah.
They have they have hunting rifles that are like iron sights, that have iron sights on them. And then they have sniper rifles where if you put it up to your face, it automatically zooms out.
Okay.
So there's a different, they'll usually do the same amount of damage though. It's just harder to be a crack shot with iron sights.
Right.
The other one. Snipers are hard because you really have to hold that thing still. But one of the other cool mechanics of the game is you can climb any structure. So buildings, fences, towers, skyscrapers. But climbing is kind of like you have to climb kind of like Spider-Man. So you do, you know, you climb one hand at a time. But you can also do, if you grab and pull yourself really hard, it launches you up a little bit more. So you can climb faster that way.
Okay.
So if you pull your, the harder you pull yourself down, the further you'll go up. Like you'll fly almost.
Okay.
So I get really tired really fast doing that. Like I climbed the tallest structure in the game today before I came to the podcast. And my arms were like dead. I was like, dude, this took forever. Like it literally hurts so bad to try to climb structures, but
so I'm just on their website mm-hmm. right now. This shows a character hanging off of the side of a building yes. with a gun
so
in the
you
other
can,
hand.
That's what I was gonna get about.
Okay,
to
okay,
about.
Yeah.
So you can grab onto a surface and have a gun in one hand. So say you're at a fence, you can pull yourself over the fence with one hand and shoot over it with your other hand. And the gun recoil is usually about the same as you would if you were shooting with two hands.
Okay.
It's just way easier to shoot with two hands.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know about using snipers and stuff like that, especially because they're bolt action. But if you have an assault rifle, submachine gun, pistol, shotgun even, yeah, you can go, you can lift yourself over and shoot. And you can also shoot while you're gliding through the air. So okay. if you stick one arm out, you can glide, and then you can shoot people while you're gliding. And there's also building, too, so that's another thing. Building is not as prominent as it is in Fortnite. Fortnite, okay. everybody's building. This game, building is kind of rare, and the structures can be shot down fast. But basically, you just click B, which is on my controller, it's B,
right.
and it puts nothing in your hands. And then if you pull a trigger, you point it at wherever you want. And at first, it was kind of hard to get used to, but you just have to think about, like, literally point it in the spot where you can see a structure being.
Okay.
So if you want it to be flat, usually you can, like, it... You just kind of know. It just kind of comes naturally.
Okay.
At first, it was a little bit difficult, but after a while, you just kind of get used to it, and it comes naturally.
So
I don't ever build that
in
much.
Fortnite, you have to mine those resources,
yes.
right?
This one, you have to pick up the resources.
Okay.
So you never mine them, but they're usually within all the different loot, and those don't take any inventory space either.
Okay.
So you can have as much resources as you want. But like I said, not a lot of people use those. I would say most of the people up in the air probably use them, but on the ground, most people are just... Unless you're out in the open, there's no need to build a structure.
Right.
And there's not really a whole lot of open space. There's some instances. But another thing about this game is footsteps are extremely loud. So, like, you can hear when somebody's near you, like, no doubt. Unless you're, like, slow walk, and then you're more quiet. But, yeah, so how you res people. So, say, you know, like I said, you play with three people. And a teammate goes down. Actually, their body never goes away. Like, their body dies, but, like, they have, like, this little ghost that walks around and can follow you anywhere. But they can't run as fast as you. So, like, if they die across the map, it's going to take them forever to get to you.
Okay.
But you can res them as long as you want. Like they can be down and dead for as long as they want to be before you res them. And how you res them, you actually have defibrillators. And you have to rub the defibrillators together for a certain amount of time. And then when they come near you, once they're charged,
you defibrillate them.
Yeah, and then they come back to life, super low health, like they have nothing, all their guns are lost.
Yeah.
So then they got to find loot, health, and all that stuff. So that kind of sucks. So you can kind of try to give them some of your resources. You know, here's this gun. You can even drop some ammo. So there's ways to do that too. There's a lot of kids that play this game.
Okay.
And it's kind of, I mean, I think it's a T for teen. Yeah, there is a lot of kids that do play it. And it's so funny. I jumped in the lobby the other day and this kid was like, "Are you guys nice?" I was like, it's sad that you have to
nope.
ask that. Like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But it's a really fun game, and surprisingly, I'd say I'm pretty good at it. Like my first game was obviously a win because that's you play against bots. But after that, like, I had to tell a lot of people, like, "Hey, this is my first game," and they're like, "Oh, you got this." And then we end up winning. Like,
what?
Yeah. So go ahead, Troy.
Troy, I think, has a question. Go ahead, Troy.
Not really a question. Well, I guess it's a question. Have you heard of a game that Colin's not good at yet? Because he says,
Tetris?
Surprisingly, I'm not good at I'm good at this game. You're good at everything.
Tetris, I'm not good at.
I'm not good
Minesweeper.
At Minesweeper.
Strategic games, I'm really difficult at doing. Unless it's like combat situations. Those I'm usually pretty decent at. But, like, yeah, most strategic games.
Everything. He's good at everything.
Most strategic games I'm not good at. Like, Bloons Tower Defense. That's a tough one. But, yeah, so far I'm really loving Population 1, especially now that A lot more people are getting headsets now.
Yeah.
There's always people to find, people to play. You can customize your, that's another thing. You can customize loadouts. There's a battle pass, but I haven't really looked into too much of doing that. That's another thing too. There's also these drops that come out of the sky. So planes will randomly drop loot. And if you go to the loot, usually there's a couple 5-star weapons. At least one.
Yeah.
If not, usually a bunch of shield stuff. So that's another way to get
loot.
It's
like the Hunger Games.
But a lot of people, of course, a lot of people will sit there though and try to camp those spots and see. Yeah. I've done it. I'll sit there with a sniper and I'm like, go ahead and try to grab that 5-star gun, buddy.
I dare you.
Snipe you. I've had some pretty good shots with the sniper though. Like I actually impressed myself. I was like, there's no way I was able to hit that. And then there's other times where I'm like, I can't hit this guy for crap. He's so far out.
Yeah.
The climbing is definitely really cool though. The structures, so windows and doors, you break them when you walk into them. So
you can climb up the side of a structure.
You can climb up the side of a building, yep, and then bust the window open and go through there.
You like punch it?
No, I think you just kind of walk towards it. I usually try, like, I think, yeah, if you swing at it, usually it busts open, but really just grabbing at it, I think, is what really does it. So say if I'm climbing up a building, there's a window. If I grab that window, it's going to break, and then I can pull myself up into the room.
Right.
That's really cool. There's also close quarter combat weapons that I didn't tell you about. There's a knife that you automatically spawn with. I've never tried using it because I've never been able to get that close to somebody that was dying. And then there's a katana, too, which does pretty significant damage. It's like 2 or 3 hits, they're dead. So the katanas are really cool. But as far as I know, that's all of the weapons. I'm having a really good time playing it. It's definitely something worth trying out if you have VR.
$30
Yeah. I would not get if you were prone to motion sickness. The game automatically puts you, like, it'll have a thing where it's like snap turn, and then like the more you move, like it'll like minimize your side of view.
Okay.
As soon as I saw that, I just put full immersion. Like I was
right,
I'm so used
set.
To VR.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just always do full immersion on every game now.
But that's nice that they're putting those things in for people who are not as good at playing in VR as you have come to.
But it also makes me wonder how many people like do that without realizing they can do the full immersion. Like,
sure.
I wonder how many people actually play like that, because I would not be able to play like that. I would not have fun.
Yeah.
Having to do the snap turn, and like a lot of people turn in real life, so then it's not that bad.
Right.
But I usually use the right stick to turn. Just because it's way quicker, and I'm not have to worry about tripping over my cord or anything.
Right. You just gotta worry about tripping over your own vomit when it's on the floor.
Yeah. But yeah, for some reason I've just gotten to that point where I can trick my just tell my brain like, dude, this isn't real. Yeah. You just gotta get to that point and then you're golden.
I think there's a couple of the VR things that I've done now where at first it was like, this is not, I'm kind of queasy, but the more you play it, the more it's like, I could either do the teleport thing, which is just terrible.
Yeah.
Or you can just, don't hate it.
I liked it in Raw Dad is the only game I enjoyed the teleporting.
Okay. Well, maybe I just played a game with a really good teleport then.
Well, Raw Data, I did both. So I could run in Raw Data and I could also teleport. And that was cool.
Yeah.
So I could I would never have to teleport to each enemy. I could attack a group, and then if a group was far away, I could teleport to them.
Right.
That was really cool. I enjoyed that.
Raw Dad is fucking fantastic.
I love that game. I want to get back into it. I need to play that again.
That temple one that I played that's kind of like Minecraft is the one where at first it was like, this is, you know, because you're literally, like, if you sit down, you can just do it all with controller and then just hit things.
Yeah.
And to me, that was like, at first it was too much. And then the more I played it, and that game, it has ladders that you can climb up, and at first I was like, how do I climb up it? So I was like doing the Call of Duty thing where you just run into it.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I'm in VR.
Use my hand.
That's how it is in Population 1 as well. In Pavlov though, if there's a ladder, you just walk up and just press up on the left stick and you just go up it. Pavlov doesn't ever let you grab on. I wish they would. I think there's another game that does that. I don't think it's Onward. There's another one that came out that lets you grab onto structures. I can't remember what it's called, though, but I want to play that one.
You did or did not play this with Toolkit?
I did not play Population 1 with Toolkit. It's something I actually just got today.
Okay.
I finished
playing. Tell the listeners what it is.
Toolkit is, so basically, why are in VR, say you're running any instance, with this case, let's say Pavlov, I can pull up this kit now that I bought. It's like $11 on Steam, but it lets you have windows open, like in VR. So like if I wanted to have Spotify screen open in VR, I can do that while running an instance in VR and see it. So if I wanted to have a Discord chat or Twitch live stream chat, I can see that all in VR.
And that's basically like a partially transparent thing.
Yeah, you can do it so where it's transparent where you can see through it. Or what I do is I have it only appear during certain gestures. So if I turn my arm a certain angle, those windows will pop up. Or right now, usually what I do is I only have a little watch screen.
Yeah.
So you can have a little tiny screen that fits about the size of your hand. So you can, if I turn my hand over in Pavlov, I can see whatever screen I want to see.
Yeah.
Or it can just be like a basic Spotify shows the name of the song, pause, skip, volume, which I thought that was cool.
And you can utilize those in real time.
And you can utilize those in real time. Yep.
That's so fucking bad.
So I'm playing Pavlov. I don't have to take my headset off or anything. I can flip my wrist over and change the song. Just don't even have to. Like, it's so cool.
I wonder, with Twitch chat, then could you type back to like your chat?
Yep, you could type back. So right now, I don't have too much experience with using the keyboard, but I did watch a video. So that's another thing too, is the toolkit has people that post in Steam Workshop a lot of customizable options that you can put almost like a mod.
Yeah.
And a lot of people put customized keyboards. So whenever you want to type something, you can actually type with your fingers, or you can just like point at which letter you want to use or whatever.
Right, right.
You can have full keyboards, different language keyboards, everything. So you can type whatever. I haven't used too much. I've used a lot of VR keyboards because a lot of them are integrated.
Yeah.
But this one looks like it's going to be the best one. Just by the videos I've watched. So I haven't gotten a chance to try
really,
that out yet.
It is really, really cool.
It is really cool. So yeah, so if you wanted to type on Discord in the middle of a match for some reason, you totally could. Like, be on soon or whatever, hey, right. I'm in this. And another thing that's cool too is now that I have an Alienware, I'm not sure if all computers do this or just Alienware, but it has a mobile connect on it. So where I can actually text on my computer.
Yep.
And now with OVR Toolkit, I can set that just to have a window there, and then I can text from VR using touchscreen.
That's actually built into Windows.
Built into Windows, yep.
Your phone app for Windows allows you to do that, type on your keyboard and send it through your phone as a text.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it's Bluetooth. I imagine it's probably
Bluetooth. Yeah, it's Bluetooth. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it
can be through Wi-Fi.
I think the mobile connect thing is Dell specific.
Yeah, mobile connect, yeah.
But the Windows, like Microsoft has an app in the App Store.
But that doesn't work. I don't think that works with iPhone though. I've had it connected. It doesn't really do a whole lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it doesn't actually show you your phone.
Okay, I have not.
The Dell Mobile Connect is the only thing that's been able to work with showing me my texts and notifications and everything.
Yeah.
So now I can use that in VR, so I can text in VR.
That's pretty cool.
It is really cool.
You're one
step closer to fucking Ready Player One shit.
Yeah.
I don't even need to get out of the VR to talk to people anymore.
Right? I wish there was a way for, like, they should make an app maybe within OVR where you could video chat people and it almost does like your character. Like, where, like, whatever character you are.
You'd have to avatar yourself, which you don't do.
Well, avatar yourself or whatever person you are in game.
Yeah.
Like, it just shows, like, an extra screen.
But I doubt that's rendered for every game.
Oh, I doubt it,
like,
too.
Especially if you're, like, Half-Life Alyx. That's a one-player game. You'll never fucking see your own character. Like,
yeah.
So.
But then again, there's a lot of times something comes out with VR that, I mean, such as like haptic feedback suits and things like that.
Yeah.
A lot of games will automatically just integrate that because they want to be like, everybody in VR usually works together. There's not really a whole lot of competition when it comes to that kind of stuff. So like, if one game does it, everyone else is going to do it too. There's no like patent, like, oh, you can only do that in this game.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk to you about that, about VR specifically, like with Population One only being a $30 game, $30 to $40 seems to be the maximum amount you'll pay for a VR game.
Which is surprising.
And like, why? Why is that? Some of these games are the full-fledged games. Like, I think Half-Life Alyx is a $60 release.
I think it's 60, yeah.
But that's the only one that I can think of.
And that's because Valve said, I can do that.
Right, yeah. Valve's like, oh, we're putting out a Half-Life game. Yeah. Everybody will buy this
shit. I think that some of it, too, is they want to make the VR games more affordable, because VR headsets are already a substantial amount of money.
But yeah. Consoles are a substantial amount of money to get, you know, I mean, buy new Xbox.
I guess an Oculus, a new Oculus is actually cheaper than a new Xbox.
Yeah. If you get the Quest 2.
Yeah. I'm not sure why they're always so cheap. A lot of times they're developed by not so big of companies.
Sure.
Gaming companies.
Yeah, you're not getting like the $100 million Assassin's Creed.
And a lot of them genuinely
75,000 people that worked on that game. Yeah. Like,
and a lot of those people genuinely just want to have their game out there for people to enjoy. They like the VR community is like usually very supportive of each other.
Yeah.
And doesn't want to gyp you on anything. Like,
boy, I can't wait till EA and Activision get a hold of VR.
Oh, man. I mean, they already have Rogue Squadrons.
That was a $40 game.
It was a $40 game, and it was worth it.
But that's not going to be, like, Activision's not going to release, say, the next Jedi Fallen Order 2. Let's say they put that in VR. That's not a $40 game.
No.
Like, they're going to put all their dumb shit in there, like...
Was the Vader game Activision, or...
I don't know who that was, but that was $40 to buy all of them.
To buy all of them? Wow, that's not bad.
It wasn't bad. I bought
What's it called? Vader...
Vader Immortal.
Immortal, yeah.
There's four episodes of it, I believe. Three or four.
Hmm.
And for the whole thing, I think it was 40.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future of VR, though, with all the games that are coming out and how popular it is, like... A lot of people thought VR was dying out, but now that PlayStation has VR, Oculus is now developing cheap headsets that actually have really good quality. Like the Oculus Quest 2 blows the Rift S out of water now.
Yeah, for sure.
With the visuals and everything.
It's even got the
finger tracking.
The hand tracking.
Yeah. So that...
Which I thought was... at first, it popped it up. He didn't even tell me about that. Julian didn't when he first started playing it. And then when I borrowed it, it was like, do you want to use hand tracking? I was like, duh. Like, I don't have to hold these things?
I sure do.
It's so cool.
Yeah. I'm interested in getting a haptic feedback suit.
Yeah.
A lot of games are on board with that. It's not like your Ready Player One, but like people said that it actually makes a huge difference having that haptic feedback. So it's mostly like vibrations.
Yeah.
But still like in specific spots. So like, you know where you're getting shot at. I thought that was kind of cool. Obviously, the headset probably won't have haptic feedback, at least for a while, but...
Right.
At least that upper body.
They just put a rumble
like,
in the...
For a good one, though, it's like $300, $300, $400 for a good haptic
feedback. Well, and you and I just talked about that VR treadmill. I mean, if you want to do, like, your full-fledged VR setup, you're talking between the headset, the gaming PC, the VR treadmill, and a haptic feedback vest...
I'm already well over
five grand probably total.
$3,000 alone for my computer stuff.
Yeah.
And my Index is another grand. Like,
so you'll say, let's say $2,000 for a PC, $1,000 for the Index. So you're at $3,000 there, $1,500 for a VR treadmill. So,
and then the haptic suit.
Suit. Yeah. You're looking at $5,000.
That's crazy.
Vader Immortal was developed by a division of ILM for those of you that were wondering. That's Lucasfilm's Industrial Light and Magic. They are evidently making VR games.
And guys, I can't say this enough. If you have not experienced VR, it is something you need to try.
Yeah.
I promise you, it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot.
Even for the simplest game.
Because I used to give VR so much shit. I did. I was like, VR seems so dumb. I booted myself up in VR. I got the Rift S. I gave in. And it was the first time I ever experienced VR. And I was just like in awe. Just in pure awe.
And that's
like
just the boot menu.
Like. And that was, literally the opening Oculus thing.
Yeah.
Like the little Oculus tutorial. Like, that was
first
like,
contact.
It just kind of shows you some of the things you can do in VR.
None of it's like great graphics neither, which is the crazy part of where it's like, this is such simple graphics, but it feels like you're doing so much.
Yeah.
There's this VR game that I got the other night. And it's free. I can't remember what it's called. But it's a free game, and it puts you in the driver's seat of an endless highway. So it sits there and plays like relaxing music, and it's something you fall asleep to. So you don't drive
in VR.
You just sit there in VR in the car, and it plays relaxing music, and it's like beautiful sight. So there's like three different like highways you can do. There's like a late afternoon one. There's one late night on the highway during the rain, and there's another one like through the woods, and like it is really cool. Like it's free. You just sit there and you just chill out. I put on my own music.
Right.
I'm like, am I listening to this stupid music? But I was just like, I thought it, because a lot of people do like to sleep with their headsets on.
Yeah.
And that I was watching Guardians 2 in VR. like I literally just put myself in my own theater. Like I think it was big screen or desktop VR.
Yeah,
it was desktop VR. So what I did is I put myself literally in the middle of the galaxy. Like I could look everywhere I look. There's stars, galaxies, and then I'm watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2, just chilling there. Had a big screen. I'm just reclined in real life, just watching Guardians. Best thing ever, dude. I'm not even gonna lie. The opening intro to that movie, and when I'm sitting in the middle of the galaxy, like I never thought I could do that.
Colin was literally feeling like he was God.
I was literally just chilling. God, it was like 2 a.m. watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in VR.
Okay,
like, it's just phenomenal.
All right, thank you everybody so much for listening. This has been Crazy Train of Thought episode, whatever the fuck we're on. I played some Second Extinction and I played a little bit of Narita Boy. But yeah. I'm going to talk about that next week because I want to delve a little bit deeper into both of those. Troy also played MLB The Show. Let's plug that or talk about that next week.
Next week.
So, yeah, thank you to the viewers and the listeners who checked out our show. Those of you that are on the stream, stick around. We've got game hype coming up. A bunch of really good news coming for you. Good discussions here for the, let's see, what do we have? We got Sony investing in Discord. EA's trying to sell more loot boxes, and of course the Fortnite trial is going on right now. So a bunch of juicy stuff. For those of you, check out Game Hype for those of you that are listening on podcast form or video form. And for everybody else on the stream, stick around. We'll be right back. Catch you next week.
See ya.
Peace.
That's all, folks.
What the fuck?